Hello and welcome to Top Records with me, Sean Allsop, the show that spans half a century in which I crown the third, second and first best album of every year depending on their quality, legacy and popularity. This being the first episode, we step back 5 decades ago, so welcome to the first episode of Top Records of 1965. Now let's get this show started with number 3 on our list. Taking the Bronze comes from a soul legend. This was his breakthrough album with his finest work. It's Otis Redding with his album Otis Blue.
Old man's probably alone. Go find you someone else to take home.
Released on the 15th September, Otis Redding Sings Soul, or Otis Blue as it is more commonly known, is Otis's third studio album and first to break through into mainstream music, reaching the top 10 at number 6 on the UK charts. The album consists mostly of covers, with 3 original tracks written by Redding, the first being Old Man Trouble, as you can hear in between me talking, and the second, perhaps one of his biggest hits, Respect. The song became much more widely known when Aretha Franklin covered it 2 years later in 1967. Aretha's cover became a huge hit for her, especially as she went all Sesame Street by spelling the letter.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T, find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, take out T-C-T.
I forget all about that Aretha Franklin, Elmo and Big Bird spelling. Now we're focusing on the original. The song itself is about a man who would buy his lady friend anything she so wants or desires in exchange for some simple respect when he comes home. Easy pleaser. Redding also covered one of the biggest hits of that year, I Can't Get No Satisfaction by the Thieving Rich Pensioners, or, as they were known back then, the Rolling Stones.
I have tried.
Redding's version sounds so distant from the original, with his gusty, rich voice and the signature riff being played out on trumpets, that many felt the Stones had actually stolen the song from him. As they'd stolen their name from Muddy Waters, their first hit from the Beatles, and huge amounts of royalty money from Richard Ashcroft, which he probably would have spent on something selfish like his children or something. From the eight cover tracks, three are from soul singer Sam Cooke, who had died the year before in 1964. Sam was a huge influence on Redding, so he paid tribute by covering three of his songs: Change Gonna Come, Shake, and perhaps his biggest hit, Wonderful World.
I don't know much about my history now. Much about biology. Don't know much about the science boot mac. Don't know much about the French apple too. All I do know is I love you, Mac. And I wonder if you love me too. Oh, what a wonderful world this could be.
Redding is also joined on the album with another legendary and well-established artist, Chef from South Park, also known as Isaac Hayes. Isaac joins Redding on keyboards and piano, as well as producing part of the album. Although, Hayes' true contribution to music will always be Chocolate Salty Balls.
Chocolate Salty Balls. Stick them in your mouth and suck them. And you want to be free. My love has grown stronger as you become a habit to me. Ooh, I'm loving you.
Otis Redding died tragically in a plane crash 2 years after the release, age 26.
I don't want to stop now. With you, my life has been so wonderful. I can't stop now. You're tired, and your love is growing. I've been loving you, oh, too long, to stop now, oh, 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 I've been loving you.
Otis Blue is still as influential today as it was half a century ago, and it definitely deserves the status of being bronze on Top Records 1965. Now on to number two of this list. This album is seen as one of the biggest artistic leaps in music history, sold over 10 million copies and is charted in three separate decades. It's only the Fab Four with Rubber Soul, The Beatles! recorded late into the night, the music style of Drive My Car was actually inspired by Otis Redding's Respect, with its more funkier, heavier bass. Nice little link there.
Working for peanuts is all very fine, but I can show you a better time. Baby, you can drive my car.
The band's sixth studio album, unsurprisingly, continued the streak by hitting number one in the charts.
Baby, you can drive my car.
The album is noted for being the first time the band was singing about different subjects other than love and romance, like in Nowhere Man.
He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen. You don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man, the world is at your command.
Here we have a man who has no individuality, no idea which path he is taking, and remains in complete solitary. And Lennon sees this nowhere man as someone we can all relate to, himself included.
He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Nowhere man, can you see me at all? Nowhere man.
Nowhere Man is a sharp switch from the Fab Four's usual romantic song formula. They were beginning to write songs with more of a deeper or abstract meaning.
Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you?
Michelle, a tune that wouldn't sound out of place in a high retail perfume commercial, is one of the most recognisable songs of the album.
Michelle, my belle, someday more qui vont très bien ensemble, très bien ensemble.
The song has gone on to become the band's most popular song in France. Really? Are you surprised? Really?
Until I find a way, I will say the only words I know that you understand. Michelle, my belle, sont des mots qui vont très bien ensemble, très bien ensemble.
Being so well received that it gave the group their only Grammy win for best song.
I need to make you see all what you mean to me. Until I do, I'm hoping you will know what I mean. I love you.
A beautiful and romantic message of love and desire to a spouse who I can only stereotypically presume is wearing a beret. Along with its gorgeous guitar strums, McCartney dips in and out of the French lingo for a touch of culture and exotic passion.
Until I do, I'm telling you so you'll understand.
Vous ne pouvez pas comprendre ce qui veut dire la pomme d'Arthur.
I just said, isn't the language exquisite? Trust me, I really did.
And I will say the only words I know that you understand, my Michelle.
the album concludes with a much more sinister tone. Run For Your Life, which is basically a death threat. A far cry from their early hits, still, the Beatles tackled this challenge and made this proposed jealous murder threat into a real toe-tapper. Life trying just to make you toe the line. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man, that's the end, little girl. Rubber Soul also contains one of the group's most intimate songs, In My Life.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments with lovers and friends. I still can recall some are dead and some are living. In my life, I've loved them all.
Here, a nostalgic John Lennon sings about the people and places of yesterday, which still holds strong meaning in his heart. Throughout all of his loving memories of the past, he knows he still holds deep value for them, but comes to the conclusion that the love he has for one person is far, far superior.
Oh, I know I'll never lose affection for people and things that went before. Know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I love you more.
Rubber Soul is seen by many as the Beatles' biggest artistic leap, with their style expanding to new reaches like soul and folk, and being lyrically more ambiguous, having songs themed about isolation, jealousy, and frustration. Such an artistic change makes Rubber Soul worthy of the silver spot on Top Records.
In my life, I love you more.
Right, it's finally time to reveal what is the top record of 1965. But before that, let's have a quick listen to the other great albums of that year that just missed out. Jazz master John Coltrane just misses out of the top three with A Love Supreme. This beautiful record has become one of the biggest selling jazz recordings of all time, with many believing it to be Coltrane's masterpiece. Put the record on and you'll feel like you've been taken back to a 1960s jazz bar. Ah, I could just smell the gin and tonic along with the cigarettes wafting around the room. This was of course long before the smoking ban was introduced. Next on this list is a relatively unknown artist.
Catch a boat to England, baby, maybe to Spain. Wherever I have gone, wherever I've been and gone, wherever I have gone, the blues are all the same.
Jackson C. Frank with his self-titled debut, which proved to be his only release.
Send out for whiskey, baby, send out for gin.
Whilst the album failed to be a commercial success, his limited music did go on to influence a number of musicians like John Mayer and Paul Simon. Still, this one album stands as a reminder of what more could have been.
When I'm not drinking, baby, you are on my mind. When I'm not sleeping, honey, when I ain't sleeping, mama, when I'm not sleeping, you know you'll find me crying.
Oh, Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? Cinnamon, where you gonna run to? We're gonna run to
Nina Simone hits close to the list of Pastel Blue. With a unique blend of blues, soul, folk and jazz, this is cited as one of Nina's best, and also includes one of her well-known hits, Cinnamon, which is now shamelessly used to sell cars and phones. And dear God, don't even get me started on the yogurt commercials.
I can't hide you the rock right out. I ain't gonna hide you down. All on that day, I said, Rock, what's the matter with you, Rock? Don't you see I need you, Rock?
Now it's finally time to unveil the top record of 1965. The poetic folk master hits the top spot with one of his most brilliant albums, and this time he's gone electric. It's Bob Dylan with Highway 61 revisited.
God said to Abraham, kill me a son. Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, well, you want this killing done. God said, all on Highway 61.
Dylan's sixth studio album became his first to be filed under rock. After a gruesome England tour in May, Dylan had become growing tired and drained of his music. Dylan wrote pages upon pages of lyrics to try and improve his enthusiasm for music, which resulted in the recording of Highway 61 Revisited.
Well, Mac the Finger said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61.
And with the album having a blues-orientated feel, Dylan thought it would be appropriate to title the album Over the Birthplace of Blues. The album title comes from a highway that passed Bob Dylan's hometown, as well as all his blues heroes, such as Charlie Patton, Muddy Waters, and Elvis Presley.
But the second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. He was very bored, trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done.
Highway 61 is also noted for when bluesman Robert Johnson struck a certain deal with a certain someone. You're listening to K49 Smoke Radio here in Mississippi. In today's news, blues guitarist and father of rock and roll, whatever that is, Robert Johnson has sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads of Highway 61 in exchange of guitar playing powers and worldwide fame. Coming up next, World War I. Is it gonna get a sequel? The intro of a ballad of a thin man with those strong piano chords instantly make the back of your hair stick up. You feel like you're walking into a haunted mansion. Nothing is well, nothing is right, and just like Mr. Jones, you have no clue what to make of anything.
Just what you will say when you get home. Because something is happening here, but you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? You raise up your head and you ask, is this where it is? Then somebody points to you and says, it's his. And you say, what's mine? And somebody else says, well, what is? And you say, oh my God, am I here all alone? But something is happening and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones?
There have been many theories on who Mr. Jones is and what is the song actually about.
You hand in your ticket and you go watch the geek, who immediately walks up to you when he hears you speak.
Well, one popular theory is that it's based on the inquisitive reporters that Dylan encountered at press conferences.
Impossible as he hands you a bone.
The reporters are confused, repulsed, and angry over the social change of the 60s that Dylan seems to be a leading factor in.
Do you, Mr. Jones? You have many contacts among the lumberjacks to get you facts when someone attacks your imagination. But nobody has any respect anyway. They already expect you to all give a check deductible charity organization. Ah, you've been with the professors and they've all liked your looks. With great lawyers you have discussed.
Although a protest on the media is only one theory, there remain many, many more that I just don't have the time, neither the effort, to go into.
You're very well read, it's well known. But something is happening here and you don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Jones? he kneels. He crosses himself and then he clicks his high heels. And without further notice, he asks you how it feels. And he says, here is your throat back. Thanks for the loan.
It still doesn't take away the fact that these are amazing songs on this amazing album. I mean, I like a song clavied in mystery now and again.
Do you, Mr. Jones?
From a Buick 6 is the favourite track of the late Apple founder, Steve Jobs, also known as that guy Ashton Kutcher played in the film Jobs. In fact, never fully understanding a song just increases its replay value, like a desperate bid of trying to pick up new lines and meanings, until you finally crack the code of the song. Highway 61 became Dylan's fifth studio album to hit the top 10 at number 4.
Don't make me nervous, she don't talk too much. She walks like Bo Diddley and she don't need no crutch.
On the closing track of Highway 61 Revisited, Dylan turns off the amp and picks up his humble acoustic harmonica for surreal poetry which goes on for more than 10 minutes. 672 seconds to be exact, to somewhere where you better avoid treading. Desolation Row.
They're selling postcards of the hanging. They're painting the passports brown. The beauty parlor is filled with sailors. The circus is in town. Here comes the blind commissioner. They've got him in a trance. One hand is tied to the tightrope walker. The other is in his pants. And the riot squad, they're restless. They need somewhere to go. As Lady and I look out tonight from Desolation Row.
Cinderella, Dylan's lyrics are shrouded with mystery and intellect. Perhaps a pathway to Desolation Road for all these characters and to us ourselves is just the painful realization. Is Desolation Row a place of bleak misery or a state of mind of bitter, utter loneliness?
And someone says you're in the wrong place, my friend. You'd better leave. And the only sound that's left after the ambulances go is Cinderella sweeping up on Desolation Road.
The song may not even have any negative connections, but 50 years on, people are still pondering the surreal lyrics of this complex masterpiece, which brings a chilling close to Dylan's sixth LP.
All except for Cain and Abel and the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Everybody is making love or else expecting rain. And the Good Samaritan, he's dressing, he's getting ready for the show. He's going to the carnival tonight on Desolation Road.
Now, we end Highway 61 Revisited with the first track of the album. It has been voted the best song ever in numerous polls, many believing it to be Dylan's masterpiece. It's his influence at his best, and his poetic beauty shows no bounds. And he asks just one question.
How does it feel? How does it feel?
Dylan's composition of A High-Class Woman Falling From Grace is easily the most famous track on the album, and arguably his career.
Nobody's ever taught you how to live out on the street, and now you're gonna have to get used to it. You say you never compromise with the mystery tramp, but now you selling any alibis as you stare into the vacuum of his eyes and say, do you want to make a deal?
The song was a far cry away from Dylan's folk roots. People were shocked by Bob's new electric approach, with Columbia Records even being hesitant to release it.
Never understood that it ain't no good. You shouldn't let other people get your kicks for you.
Some even felt betrayed by the singer-songwriter's transformation. With its first infamous performance at the Newport Folk Festival, the song was greeted by boos, with some even going as far as to shout Judas.
He really wasn't where it's at. After he took from you everything he could steal. How does it feel?
And whilst it at first took many by surprise, the song transcended into a hit, giving Dylan his highest charting single and propelling Highway 61 as one of his best works. With a beautiful poetic and musical structure, making Highway 61 more deserving of the first gold spot on Top Records.
You better take your diamond ring, you better pawn it, babe. You used to be so amused at Napoleon in rags and the language that he used. Go to him now, he calls you, you can't refuse. When you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose.
I hope you enjoyed the first episode of Top Records. Why wouldn't you? No, I'm serious. I'm really serious. Why wouldn't you? Anyway, until next time, goodbye.
Ah, how does it feel?